Let's hold off on those lights. 1 second, Brother Aaron. Hold off 1 second. Amen. How many's glad to be at winter warm-up tonight? Amen. Thank you for being patient with us. We're glad that the other churches have made it in. I think we've got one more church coming, but that's all right. We're just going to go ahead and start tonight. And we are so glad that every one of you have come. We appreciate your being here, and we're praying that God would meet us tonight in a mighty way. We want the Lord to come by, and we want to have church tonight. Amen. I know we're going to have a lock-in, and we're going to have fellowship in the back, and I forgot my five-hour energy, but I think I'm pretty good to go tonight. I'm pretty wired up, so we're going to have a great time tonight after service. But this is the reason why we've come, is to have church. And so whatever you might need tonight, you know, this is your opportunity. Everybody listen up tonight. All right. This is your opportunity. The theme for Winter Warm-Up 2010 is My Generation, My Pentecost, My Turn. How many of you have ever heard stories about God moving in your parents' or in your grandparents' lives? Anybody ever heard stories before? Let me see your hand. If you've heard a story about God moving in someone... I love to hear stories of elder folks that are Christians talk about how God has moved on them. It excites me. But you know what? I thought tonight, I want a story for myself. And that's why we've come. Amen. I want to be able to tell my children and my grandchildren, I've met with God. And that's why we're having this tonight. And so we're going to open up tonight. Again, thank you everyone for coming. We're going to open up the service right now with a PowerPoint slideshow. And we just we want our hearts to be focused on one thing tonight. There's a fallen world out there that is crying out for a generation to get a hold of a genuine move of God. Anybody out there tonight? I said there is a generation of young people in the world that is crying out for God's people to get a hold of a real move of God. Amen. Brother Aaron, let's go ahead and get the lights. Amen. This generation, like no other generation, has seen tragedy just streamlined into our hearts. I can take you to the exact spot, Pastor, when you walked in and told us about 9/11. Many of you right now could tell me what you were doing when Columbine happened. Many of you, if you're old enough, can remember the Oklahoma City bombing. We've experienced Katrina. And most recently, we've seen the destruction of a whole nation. Why? Because this world is fallen and is separated from its creator. It doesn't matter whether it's just a young boy who's been abused by his father or whether it's a whole country that has been destroyed. It's all a result of the separation, that severed relationship that God intended for humanity. And more than ever, more than any other time in history, there is a world around us that is crying out for hope, for life, for dreaming again, for just a little bit of comfort. There is a world around us that with everything inside of them, they're walking down the halls of your school. And although they may look like it on the outside and the inside, their inner man is crying out for that relationship to be born again. They're crying out for that relationship with their creator. You see, there's something inside every human individual. Their heart wants to be filled with something that they just don't know what it is. But we have the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got the answer tonight. And it's Jesus Christ. And what is going to benefit this world is not another fellowship of just coming together and playing basketball. It's not going to benefit anything around your friends or your family if you just come and hang out. What is going to impact your world, what is going to change your family tree, what is going to transform your school, it's not going to be another fellowship function. It's not going to be another time of gathering. It's going to be when we encounter an almighty God for ourselves. When we have an experience, amen, with God for our own lives, where it transforms us so that we can transform the world around us. My generation, my Pentecost, it's my turn. It's my turn. I want somebody across the house tonight to say, it's my turn. Amen. It's my turn tonight to meet with God. Amen. We've heard about revivals in other countries. There's been revivals in Wales, a revival in England, in India, Brazil, China. It's time for America to have our turn. Amen. An outpouring of God that transforms us. I'm not talking about feeling good for a moment. I'm talking about a transformation, young people. And tonight can be the night. Hallelujah. Will you join me and stand all across this house? Let's lift our hands to heaven and ask God that He would come by in a mighty way. Amen. Pray for yourself tonight. Come on, all across the house. Heavenly Father, we need You. We're unashamed to admit our need of You, God. Lord, we want to be transformed. God, we want to be radically changed. Lord, as we enter into this service, I pray Your Spirit would come down in a mighty way. Father, we pray our hearts would be lifted up to You. God, we need You tonight. I pray for every young person that's here, that You would impact their life, Jesus, for eternity. Oh God, we worship Your name. And Lord, as we enter into worship, I pray that You would be pleased with our praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get in tonight and let's worship the Lord.
been with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above.
Yesterday, he reigns today, and he's going to reign tomorrow. We can take comfort in that. There's so many things that we have to face today, but all we have to do is put our trust in God tonight. We want you to just get in and worship with us.
reigns. God, He reigns forever.
Every victory.
Bible in Revelation 12 says, the devil being thrown out of heaven is an accuser of God and of the brethren. But it goes in the following verse and says, we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
We shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone
worship Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. What a King. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Are you happy to be a Christian tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I said, are you happy to be a Christian tonight? Amen. Why don't we just one more time? Let's worship the Lord. We got time tonight, church. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you that you loved me when I was unlovable. Oh, Lord, you sought a relationship with me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. For forgiving me of my sin, washing me and making me a new person. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Before you're seated, why don't you turn around and shake a few hands? Tell him you're glad to see him here tonight in God's house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One second. Amen. Right before Pastor Hurst comes, I'm going to make a few announcements. Amen. Again, so glad to have everyone here tonight. I'll be honest, I do this for my youth group, amen, but I'm just glad you all get to join in with us, amen. How many youth pastors do we have here?
Any youth pastors here? Let's put your hands in the air. Any youth pastors here? Amen. Would you all agree tonight that just to pray? Amen. I want to ask you to, all of our youth pastors tonight and all of our adults, if we could just pray tonight throughout the remaining of this service. We're just going to agree together tonight that God's going to change some young person. Amen. Could we do that? Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. I know many of you have, a lot of you have driven, amen, from Indiana. Some of you, it was a burden just from Germantown. Brother Matt, appreciate you trekking the snow. Amen. Many of you, you know, I know the weather's not good tonight, but again, we appreciate you being here. And we do want to make a quick announcement. We want everyone that will, please join us when the service is over. After you're done praying, I don't want you to rush through it and just head back there, but when the service is done, when we're done praying, and if you're new here, the steps up here is what our church uses as an altar. This is where we come and we gather and pray. So at the end of the service, Brother Snow is going to give an altar call. We want you to come, all right? And this is where we gather and pray. But when we're done, amen, we've got a ton. Sister Hurst, is that pretty much the weight limit we're at right about now? We have a ton of food in the back in Vaughn Hall. It's the large yellow building on the left as you go back in the parking lot. And we want you to stay and join us in fellowship and just eat with us tonight. We're going to have volleyball and basketball. The hangout building is ready to go. Air hockey, foosball, pool. I'll challenge anybody to a game of foosball if you're up for it. But I know you're probably afraid of that, so I don't expect a lot of folks to be back there. But it's back there for you. Just stay. That's my point. Stay. And join us in some fellowship, okay? The food cost is $5, and but if you don't have the money, don't let that deter you, okay? Just come talk to me, all right? But we want you to stay. Amen. Why don't you join us in welcoming our host pastor tonight, Pastor Clifford Hurst, and let's give him a hand.
Amen. When they were singing that, I got to thinking about what the Apostle John said. You know, he didn't leave you young people out. He said, I have written unto you young men. Today he would have said, I write unto you young people. He said, because you have overcome the wicked one. Isn't that encouraging that you can overcome the wicked one? Amen. We're just so delighted to see all you young people here and those that brought you. And we're delighted to have Brother and Sister Snow and their family here. And they've got a group of 14 and the youth pastors from Iowa, clear 10 hours away. Delighted to have the church folks here and pastors, different ones. And we're just waiting to see what God's going to do before we get out of here tonight. Amen. Ushers, if you would come, we're going to take an offering. And when I taught the young adult class, I realized times were changing. They never had any cash. They had plastic. And there'll be days we'll have to have the ushers have the little mobile ATM devices where you can swipe your card or something. So, but I think tonight you young people may still have some cash on you. And so why don't you dig it out? This is going to be a love offering to the Snows, our evangelists. You're going to be blessed in just a few moments. Your hearts are going to be stirred. Now, I know I don't look near that old, but it's been 30 years since I've been a teenager. 30 years. But when I reflect back on my teenage years, and I've got a lot of memories still. It's been 30 years, but I still got a memory. But of those memories of a teenager, the ones that are the most vivid are the times, the memories of times where I had an encounter with God. And that's why we're having this meeting, young people, so you can have an encounter with God tonight that you'll never forget. A snowy February 2010 Friday night, you can have an encounter with God you'll never forget. That's what we're having this for tonight. How many believe that's going to happen in this place? Multiple times, multiple young people are going to encounter God. We're going to pray over this offering, and our youth choir is going to sing. And as they sing what they are singing, take it to your heart for yourself. Amen. Aaron, won't you ask? Heavenly
Father, thank you for this privilege that we have to enter your house, Father, to worship you. We ask you to bless this offering now. service. The choir, they sing. The message is brought forth. Bless our ears as we receive the word, and our hearts to receive it and take it home with us. Bless these things in your name.
Good services lately at our church, and a couple weeks ago we were having one of those amazing services, and our choir was singing, and I was in the back, and there's not much room in our back row. A lot of our choir will know that. And you know, God was moving on me, and I felt Him tell me that I needed to get out of there. I didn't know what He wanted me to do specifically, but I just felt like He was saying, get out of there. You know, there are people in my way, so I got up and climbed over the seat and got out. And I went to the altar, and all of a sudden, I just started praying. And God hit me, and He hit me in a way that I have never felt Him before. It was so strong. And you know, the song we're singing tonight, it's my turn now. You know, it is my turn. And you know, if God tells me to run, I'll run. If He tells me to lift my hands, I'm going to lift my hands. Because it is my turn, and I need Him tonight. So worship with us as we sing.
Don't give me another story of revival of days gone by. I long to see the glory right here with my own eyes. You say God never changes. I'm ready for a little proof. What He did back then, let Him do it again. I believe I can have it too. Oh, it's my turn now. It's my turn now to stare around. The glory's coming down. Somebody, hey, somebody, somebody. Somebody just got filled. My turn now. Oh.
Young people, I know you've got more energy than this. I said it's your turn now. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not talking about entertainment. We're not talking about a show or theatrics. But we want something real tonight. Amen. I want something genuine. We're so glad tonight to have our speaker for the weekend and also for revival here at Union Road. We want to let you know that beginning Sunday, and we know you have your home church, but Monday through Wednesday, we'll be having revival here every night, 7:30. But we are so glad tonight to have our speaker here, Brother James and Sister Deanna Snow. We appreciate you being here. We want you to come and take your liberty. Amen. Preach the word to us tonight.
Praise God. Praise God. It's Friday night. It's snowing outside. We just wanted to give, you know, in case you didn't realize that. We've had 70-something days now of 5 inches or more of snow on the ground in Iowa. It's not funny. Seriously. And we drove further than anybody else. My youth pastors are awesome. Would you give my youth pastors a hand? Brother David, this is a man's man. Brother David, I want you to stand up and just kind of wave. At these young men, that's a man right there. I thought about, Brother Todd, I thought about growing a beard. He's going to be Jesus in our Easter program. And he's already get cracked on. They're saying that Jesus wasn't Irish, and I don't like that. Y'all keep that to yourself. We can do things to make the hair color change a little bit. But, I was thinking about growing a beard, but it takes me about 6 to 8 months to grow a full beard. And David can grow one in about 6 to 8 hours, full beard. I'm telling you, hey, before he left, the bumper, I'm not joking with you, the bumper on the brown, oh, Brownie. We have a brown van. We call it Brownie. Just take a look at it and you'll understand why we call it old Brownie. But the bumper fell completely off. My youth pastor took straps, strapped up the bumper, and duct taped it. But when I walked out there and looked at it, I said, David, I used to think that I loved you and think you're awesome. But I said, now I know, bud, you're awesome. Duct tape on the bumper, and he had to do that because there was nothing else to do. But I tell you what, I appreciate my young people, and there was with our kids 17, I believe, of our youth group that's here, and appreciate our young people making that kind of trip. I love these guys. I'm telling you, it's so good to see all of you. Wonderful to see some of you. Your faces are very familiar, and some of you maybe I haven't seen before, but we're thrilled you're here tonight. I tell you what, I just believe God
is going to do some wonderful things in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't you feel like shouting when they were singing, "My Turn Now"? Praise the Lord. Why didn't you? Praise God. Man, I tell you, just experiencing the presence of God. He's here tonight in such a glorious way. Thank you so much, musicians. Praise the Lord. Later in the revival, we'll probably do a little bit of singing, but we want to get into the Word of God tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It's such an honor to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for giving us this opportunity. And Brother Brian, thank you so much for the invitation, and just can't wait to see what all God is going to do in our hearts tonight. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's stand here for just a moment for the reading of the Word of God. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Most likely, this was a song that was sung in the early church. The way that it is written, the way that it is put together, suggests that this was a song that was commonly sung, that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Praise God. Amen. Tell somebody before you're seated tonight, shake their hand and ask them, "Do you remember Jesus?" In 1863, in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating graves of her two sons who had died representing their beloved Southland, an elderly woman walked to two mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery to place memorial flowers there also. "What are you doing?" friends shouted. "Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." Softly, that compassionate mother said, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do ours." That simple act of remembrance and thoughtfulness brought about the tradition that we have in our nation of Memorial Day, where we remember those who laid down and sacrificed for us. Young people, we are here tonight because of the sacrifice of someone else. And now it falls on us to make our own sacrifices in this generation. In the Revolutionary War, and I'm going somewhere, so I want you to stay with me here tonight. Keep your mind focused. Try not to focus on how that I'm going to dominate on the basketball court, please. Because I won't. I'm too fat. In the Revolutionary War, 25,324 Americans lost their lives. In the Civil War, almost 500,000. World War I, 116,000. In World War II, 407,000. Over 407,000. That's unbelievable, isn't it? The Korean War, 54,000. The Vietnam War, over 58,000. The first Gulf War, almost 300. And then the Iraq conflict and the war that's going on now in Afghanistan, it's still to be seen the number of those who have made that ultimate sacrifice. But can I tell you tonight, the one who, with his sacrifice, has not just touched a nation, not just touched a family, but has turned the world upside down. The one who has given his all. The song that I read to you tonight out of the scriptures. I want to talk about this song for just a minute and the one that it represents. I believe that you and I tonight ought to focus in on who he is. If this generation will have our Pentecost, if we're going to see God move in any way, we must realize the source of every good thing has to come from Jesus Christ. Hey, the first thing, may we remember his appearing. He appeared. God was manifest in the flesh. It reminds us of the greatest event in human history. It reminds us of the moment when the Creator, God himself, stepped out of eternity into time and came into this world as a human baby. Jesus laid aside his heavenly address. Like every soldier who has ever served in the armed forces, when Jesus came to this earth, he also left his home. He had from all eternity lived in heaven. He had existed in a place of perfection, free from sin, free from pain, free from suffering, free from sorrow. He originated in a land where he was exalted, honored, worshiped, yet he willingly left all that behind to enter this sin-cursed, hate-filled world. He came to a world where even those who had longed for his appearing would reject him. He came to a land where he would be ridiculed, hated, and killed. Yet he came anyway. God came to the earth and he robed himself in human flesh. He lived as a man among men and died as a man to redeem man from his sins. Jesus Christ laid aside everything to come into this world for us. Now I'm going somewhere. I want you to stay with me. Jesus laid aside his heavenly apparel. When you join the military, you don't get to wear your own clothes anymore. Not anything. It all is transferred. You don't belong to yourself. You don't own yourself. And when Jesus left that glory of heaven, he disrobed himself. Amen. Took upon himself the form of a man. When he came into this world, he willingly concealed his heavenly fame within an earthly frame. He took upon himself the body of a man. Here was God, the creator of the universe, born as a baby in Bethlehem. Here was God, to whom belonged the earth and the fullness thereof, with no place to lay his head. Here was God, who had made everything that was, and who said, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Here he is, absolutely dependent on his earthly mother and those that were around him. Because Jesus left heaven and came into this world, he knew pain, he knew suffering, he knew rejection, he knew hunger, he knew thirst, he knew loneliness, and many other the problems that are part of this human condition. He suffered all of these things so that you and I, amen, could have a Savior who felt our pain, who felt our sorrow, who felt the problems that you and I would face in our life. When Jesus Christ came into this world as a man, he lived as a man. He died on the cross as a man. He rose again from the dead in the form of a man. When he ascended into heaven, he was still in that earthly frame. And can I tell you, when you and I get to heaven, you and I will have no more scars. But there will be one in heaven who is scarred for all eternity. They will say to him, "Where did you get those scars?" And Jesus himself will say, "I was wounded in the house of a friend." Oh, on that place where John saw him, we quoted from the Revelation tonight, when John looked up and seen the Lamb of God, he seen that one as though he had been slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, let me tell you, he came into this world as a man. He died as a man. And he rose again in that earthly body. Amen. May we always remember his accomplishments. Paul says he was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world. In those few words here, Paul tells us about the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the life that he lived. Now, I normally don't read a sermon that I'm preaching, but I'm telling you, I don't want to miss anything tonight because I'm talking about Jesus. I want to make sure I give everything that the Lord has put in my spirit to give to you. Remember His perfect service. The phrase is justified in the Spirit and seen of angels speak of the divine approval that was upon His life and work. From the time Jesus was baptized in Jordan and began His earthly ministry, the power of the Holy Ghost was upon His life. In fact, Jesus did all that He did, not as God, but as a Spirit-filled man. He perfectly accomplished what Adam had failed to do. The miracles, the powerful teaching, the changed lives, the statements from God the Father when He said, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." And again He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Another proof of God's sanction was that He was seen of angels. From the announcement of His birth by the angels crying out that Jesus had come into this world, to the angels' ministry to Him at His temptation, to the angels who spoke to the women at the empty tomb, Jesus was always represented by those of angelic presence. They watched as their Creator was born. They watched as He lived among men and fulfill the plan of God. They watched with their hands on the hilts of their swords as He died, just waiting for His orders to come and to fight for Him. Oh, He was seen of angels. Amen. They broadcast the message that Jesus Christ had come. Oh, I want to tell you right now, we need to remember His perfect sacrifice. The phrase justified in the Spirit also speaks about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Jesus did not come to this world just to live. He came to die. He came into this world to die. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, was taken to a place called Calvary and nailed to a cross. He didn't die because He was a bad man. He didn't die because He deserved it. Death, after all, was reserved for sinners. But He died because He came into this world to save sinners. If He was going to save sinners, then He wouldn't have to die. When Jesus died on the cross, He suffered in ways that we can never imagine. But all of His suffering was for one reason: you. He died so that you might have life. He endured the cross so that you might be saved. He shed His blood to redeem you from your sins and to make it possible for you to be saved. His death made it possible so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Snow, why does this mean anything to me tonight? This means everything to us. If we are going to have a move of God in our generation, we must go past the cross. If we're going to have any kind of Pentecost, we first must go back to that place called the cross of Calvary and realize that our nasty, sinful self was nailed to that cross when Jesus died. Amen. And when He rose again, brother, sister, you and I can be raised to newness of life. Can I tell you, it disturbs me that in this room tonight, under the sound of my voice, are young people that are in 1 month and out the next. You're in 1 week and you're out the next. You've got one hand in the world and one hand in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that's why you're miserable. It's not because your preacher isn't making you happy with his sermons. It's not because your youth pastor doesn't love you and the Holy Ghost doesn't move in your church anymore. The problem is you. You have forgotten that Jesus died for you. You have forgotten that He paid the ultimate price for you. You've taken it lightly. You walk in His presence and you scoff at Him every time. Listen, I'm not trying to hurt you tonight. I'm trying to help you. Somebody needs to remember tonight that Jesus Christ went through everything He went for just for you. Look at somebody who's sitting beside you right now and tell them it was for you that Jesus died. Jesus gave His life, amen, for you. After Jesus died, He was buried in a tomb and it was sealed up. But 3 days later, He was justified in the Spirit. Hallelujah. When God brought him back from the dead, he said, this is further proof that Jesus, who was who he claimed to be, the resurrection of the dead was God's claim upon Jesus Christ. It was the loud amen to everything that Jesus said that he was. When he entered into that tomb and his Spirit preached the gospel in paradise, I don't believe that the devil thought that Jesus was going to defeat him. I believe he thought he had come up with a good plan until all of hell began to tremble. And someone stepped into the room where death was at and pointed his finger and said, come here. Death slunk down on the ground and began to slither over to where Jesus was at and pulled out his keys and handed them to him and shrunk back into the corner on the other side. Jesus pointed his finger over at hell. And hell came over to him because hell was never prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus was saying, whoever calls on my name is going to have access to heaven. You don't have power over him anymore. And he took the keys from hell. He pointed over at grave and said, come here. And grave walked into the presence of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus took away the power of the grave. Oh, can I shout it in this room tonight? Jesus Christ did every bit of that for you. Hallelujah. Oh, when his Spirit, amen, went into the grave and preached the gospel to the captives, he said, now the time has come. I've got to come out of this grave. When he came forth out of that grave, it was a message to everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight. He was who he said he was. He is the Son of God. He is alive, and he's in this room tonight. Some of you that do not know him personally, that's why your heart has been beating fast. That's why you felt as if a divine presence, a godly presence, has been pulling at your heart since you walked into this room, because God wants to save you. Hallelujah. Some of you who used to walk with God, but you backslid, you've turned your back on him. That's why you felt his presence wooing and pulling at you from the moment that you walk through that door tonight. It's because God is reaching out to you to transform your life. He is alive and he is in this room tonight. Hallelujah. We need to remember his perfect salvation. We are told that Jesus was preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. His salvation is proclaimed, hallelujah, throughout this entire world. As I speak tonight, there are people in Africa who are rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you met my friend from Togo, Brother Nanjambi. I just spoke with him last week. He said, oh, Brother Snow, many more churches have started even since you were here. God is doing great things. Amen. I want you to know right now, God is moving all throughout this earth. The gospel is being preached because Jesus did come, because he did die. And friend, he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Oh, because he rose again from the dead when he came out of that grave. You know what he was saying? Hey, this is the promise that I've gave to you. It is expedient for me that I would die, that I would be ascended into heaven, because if I go into heaven, I will send you another comforter. He was saying, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Ghost upon my church, and everything that I was able to do, they will be able to walk in and do as they walk in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, I'm not telling you tonight that you are Jesus, but I'm telling you, you represent Jesus Christ, and it's the closest thing this world is going to see until he comes again. It's a child of God who is full of the Holy Ghost, who is representing that one who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. Can I tell you in this room tonight that God wants to put His hand on your life so that you could be a witness, so that you could share this message that Jesus Christ still saves sinners. We have a young lady in our church back home. Her name is Chi Fong. She is from a small village in China. She started going to a church, and the pastor was preaching and said it was okay for people to be homosexual. And she said, she's a Buddhist, but she said, I knew that wasn't, that just didn't sound like a holy God. The pastor began preaching another sermon and said that it's not only is it okay to be homosexual, but it's okay for homosexuals to preach the gospel. She walked out the door that day and she said, I know there's no God. I know there's no real creative power that would ever be that ungodly and unholy. She came into our church. In the first service, Brother Hurst, I seen her when she came in, and I'm telling you, I notice when there's people that come in that need Jesus. I want to get to them. All you youth pastors, all you pastors, wave your hands. Don't you feel that way? You see people need Jesus. I want to get to them right then. I want them to know Jesus. As the service was going on, I seen her, tears are rolling down her face. She came to the front. She was headed to prison. She happened to be with her boyfriend who was selling drugs and running drugs, living an ungodly life. And she came to the front. She's crying. She said, I don't know that God can forgive me for all I've done. I said, I know He can. I know He can. Right there, the Spirit of God came down on that young woman's heart, gave her an assurance that she had been forgiven by the resurrected Christ. Amen. When she prayed all the way through and felt that delivered, she told me the story of how she was facing prison. I said, watch what God's going to do. God's going to take care of this. I shared examples of what the Lord had done, and I knew in my spirit God was going to work for her. We prayed. The judges basically just threw everything out. She just has one more thing to go through to get it completely cleared off of her record. She said, Brother Snow, my grandmother has cancer. She came to me here a few weeks back. My grandmother has cancer. And she said, but I know God's going to heal her, because she had called us before this. We went over to a friend that she has who had cancer. We walked in the room. When we walked in, Dee, we knew God was going to do something great. This young lady who had cancer, who was dying, walked over to her, prayed for her. God healed her. Amen. Chi Fong said, I know God could do anything. Her grandmother is dying with cancer in China. And she said, I believe that God is going to heal her. So she got on the phone and called all of her relatives who are Buddhist. She's the only Christian in her family. Called all of her relatives and said, when God heals my grandmother, when God heals your mother, will you become a Christian? They said, yes, we will. Hallelujah. He's been preached to the world. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's people that you live around that need Jesus Christ desperately. Amen. And if you'll just keep living it, if you'll just keep loving God, if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, you can be a part, amen, of spreading this gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. That means that you and I can move in the power of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus came. He died. He rose again from the dead. Amen. And He's here tonight to empower everyone that's listening to me tonight to make you a witness for Him. Will you stand your feet across this room? Will you raise your hands towards heaven right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't drive 10 hours for us to just pray a little bit and look at each other, for us to sing a few songs and go have a little bit of fellowship, Brother, I came because I felt a burning in my spirit that God was going to do something great. Hallelujah. My young people didn't load up, put aside everything they were doing to come all the way over here so we can just look at each other. I got some young people that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it's all available because of what Jesus Christ did. Amen. If I could have someone come to the music tonight. If you're here right now in this service with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this service tonight and you'll say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I've never experienced His resurrection power." Let me tell you about His power. I've watched people kneel down, addicted to meth, and stand up saints. Stand up completely delivered, completely changed. I've watched young men who have been abused, young women who've been abused, who come and kneel at an altar and stand up completely delivered, completely changed by the power of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm talking about tonight, young people. And if you've never met Him personally and you'll say tonight, "I want to know Jesus. I want to know this one that preacher talked about who died and rose again from the dead. I want to know Him personally." I want you to slip out from where you're at and come and meet me right here at the front of this church. Maybe you're here tonight and you've backslid. You're not where you need to be with God. So, "Preacher, that would be embarrassing." Listen, Jesus was stripped down naked in front of all Jerusalem and beaten, spit upon and ridiculed so that you could be saved. It doesn't hurt you to step forward and say, "I want Him to be the Lord of my life, to be the God who I serve." It won't hurt you to make that step. It'll change your life. You say, "I feel like I need to go, but I just don't have the courage." Maybe you have a Christian friend who invited you here tonight, or someone who's here with you that you know, they know Jesus. Get them by the hand and say, "Hey, come with me, help me. I've got to go pray. I've got to get things right with God. Thank you, Jesus." Maybe you backslid and you just want to get things right with God. Amen. There's more. And just this young lady, you've drifted. You've drifted from the shore. You're like a boat that was tied up, but you started untying your teaching and the relationship you had with Christ from when you were younger, and now you've just drifted way out away from where you used to be. You need to come right now. God wants to change you. God wants to change you. In the name of Jesus. Every power right now that's trying to hold back that young man, we rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. Your power has no authority in this room. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. In the authority of Jesus Christ, we rebuke you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, there's a freedom right now. Hallelujah, if you'll slip out right now, the devil has no power over you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've said, the devil has no power over you right now. Move. Hallelujah, and get your freedom tonight in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shandala basataha. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you here right now and you'll say, "Preacher, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I know that God wants me to be a witness, but I've got to have power. And I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost." I want you to come and stand. Don't kneel. I want you to come and stand in the front of this room. Stand in here behind some of these that are already praying. Lift your hands toward heaven. Ask God to fill you. Amen. And then receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You want to be filled. You want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want you to come right now. How many of you here tonight will say, "Preacher, I want to do something for God. I want to make a difference in our generation. I want to truly experience our Pentecost. I want you to come all across the room. Amen. Praise the Lord on this one. There shouldn't be any young person left. Let's come all across the room. Find yourself a place. Some of you may have to meander up here on this platform. But I want you to make up your mind. I'm not going to come and just pray for a few minutes. I'm going to come and tarry in the presence of God until God does something spectacular in my life. Our generation needs to experience the move of God's Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every young person that's here to lift your hands, begin to call out to God. When you lift your hands, you're saying, God, I surrender. You're saying, God, I'm on your side. I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to you. You're saying, Lord, I need your help. You're saying to the enemy, I'm against you, devil. I don't want you in my life anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that Jesus went through on the cross, He went through for you. Every experience He had of rejection in this world, He went through for you. So that He can relate to you right now where you're at. Let Him save you. Let Him baptize you in the Holy Ghost. If you've backslidden, let Him restore you right now. Let Him refill your spirit with the power of the Holy Ghost. Make up your mind right now in this altar. You're sick of it. You're sick of sin. You're sick of letting the devil run your life. You're sick of letting the devil run your life. Make up your mind. I'm not going to walk out of here the way I came in. I'm going to leave changed. I'm going to leave change in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell Him what you're needing right now. God, I need you to save me. God, I need you to deliver me from the habits and the bondage that's in my life.
Please don't turn.
Deliver me from a filthy mind. Deliver me from pornography. Deliver me from sinfulness. Whatever it is, open your mouth and tell Him right there where you stand. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, tell Him, God, I need you to baptize me in the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with your Spirit. Open your mouth and tell Him, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Those that are still praying, we want you to continue to pray. If you're with your youth group and you guys, I'm not into guys holding hands. Just not into it. But if you want to put your hand on the shoulder of the guy that's beside you, or you want to bump him and let him know you're praying for him, the young ladies, if you would, take the hand of that young lady that's beside you right now. Did y'all see those things at the beginning of the service tonight, all those slides, the tragedies? Now, some of you have known me for several years. I don't make prophecies unless I know the Holy Ghost has told me to say it. Here a few years back, I said, it's going to come out in the news that there's drugs in our drinking water. There was a scheme in the 60s and 70s to get people addicted to medications and to get them on diabetic medication and all kinds of stuff so they could control the population. Now, some of you, when I just said that right then, you think I'm a nutcase. But the Holy Ghost told me to stand up and preach it, that it was going to happen. It was going to come out in the papers. And I stood up and preached it, though I didn't want to, and it came out in the papers, it came out on the news, it was all over the internet for about 2 days, and they shut it completely off, and you haven't hardly heard anything about it since then. Here, about several months back, on a Wednesday night, I was praying on the platform, I believe that night, Brother David, you had preached. And I was praying, and I was saying, oh God, the things that are happening in the world, I know that you're coming. I know that you're coming is so near. And just as real as I'm talking to you, the Lord spoke to me and said, this world has not even begun to see the tragedies and the things that are about to happen. God spoke into my spirit in such a way. Everybody left the church. Everybody's leaving. I didn't care. I just stayed there on the platform, just weeping and broken. As God continued to speak in my spirit, that what we're about to see in this nation, we can't even imagine the things that are going to happen. And this is what the Lord spoke into my heart. I have declared it. It will come to pass. America's gone past the point. And I'm telling you, the Lord has held His hand of judgment back because of people like us that have prayed through the years and have loved God. But God has declared it. Our generation is going to see things like you and I can't even imagine. We need the Holy Ghost. Will you pray for that person that's standing beside? I wish you could feel what I'm feeling in my spirit. I'm not just saying this tonight to try to drag out a service. Amen. But I feel the Spirit of God speaking to my heart before I ever got here. I want to see young people full of the Holy Ghost. Will you pray for that one that's beside you right now, for God to fill them to overflowing with the Holy Ghost? They're going to need the Holy Spirit to be able to face the things that are coming in this nation. Some of you are sitting there right now and you're saying, "Oh, preacher, I don't even know you." Read your Bible. It's coming to pass in front of our eyes. The things that are about to shake this nation, brother, you and I, we just can't even imagine what's about to happen in this world. We need God more than we've ever had Him before. Jesus, fill us as a generation with the same passion that Christ had when He stretched His arms out, gave up His life so that men could be free. God, help us to be willing to spend time, Lord, in prayer. To walk out of this room tonight, not just touched, but full of the Holy Ghost. God, birth in us a burden, a passion for the lost like we've never had before. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, take us deeper than we've ever been before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I heard everybody talk, Brother Todd, when I was a young man, about what God was doing and the great revivals. And none of them was talking about what God was doing in their life right then. And I said, that's it. I want to hear about what God's done in the past, but I want to see it in my own life. If He said for us to cast out devils, I want to cast out devils because that's what Jesus wants me to do. If people can still get filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to believe people get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see it in my own life. If God worked miracles then, He can work them now. And let me tell you something. A lot of Sundays, the staff there in Neosho would walk through, they thought a wild animal and got caged in one of those rooms. Because most Sundays I stayed in that church and wept and cried and screamed and pleaded with God for an anointing. And let me tell you something. I've seen God do things that I just heard everybody else talk about. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to act like I'm anything special. I'm saying that because God wants to do the same thing with everyone who's listening to me right now. How many of you will say, Brother Snow, I want it to be in my generation? The Lord is going to do a quick work. You hear what I said? He's going to do a quick work and He's going to get us out of this world. Praise God. Jesus is coming. And I want to be a part of the church. How about you? Will you stand your feet across the room except for those that are praying? You just stay. You stay. You tarry. You just stay here. If you want to stay all night, you stay. But everybody else, stand and raise your hands toward heaven. I want you to open your mouth. And I want you to praise God out loud. I want you to just tell Him out loud, Lord, I want to be one of those that's full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! God, I want to see You saving people. I want to see You baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want You to use me to cast the devil out of somebody so that they can be free. They won't have to be bound anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't believe the church has to limp along. I believe we can march in victory. Hallelujah. What God is doing in Des Moines, Iowa is just miraculous. Praise God. The lives that are being changed, sinners that are being saved, people that are being filled with the Holy Ghost, the church, amen, that's in a burned over field that's growing. Amen. I want to tell you here tonight, God wants to do the same thing in your church. Will you lift your voice right now and say, God, let it start right here, right inside of this chest. God, let revival begin. Let my generation see the moving of the Holy Ghost.
Tonight, if this was about entertainment, if this was about a production or a show or theatrics, I'd say you could be dismissed. We'd just head to the back. But I can't help but feeling there's something more tonight. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said that God is not like a man that he should ever lie. Is there anybody that God's ever lied to you? I don't think you're going to find anyone tonight. And so if God fulfills all of His promises, which is what the Bible says He does, would we be wrong tonight to believe that the promise that He said to our generation, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Amen. Should we believe that God will now begin to do what He has never done in His existence? Will we begin now to believe that God would take back a promise that He has given to our generation? Or could we unite tonight in one mind and one accord and ask God to do what He promised that He would do, and that was to pour Himself out? He said if we would humble ourselves before Him,
He would not cast us out. And if we tonight could come together and beseech an almighty God to pour himself out upon us, we might experience the very promise that he spoke of. All across the house, let's lift our hands one more time and call out to God, amen, that he would honor his word. Oh, we need you, Lamb of God. You're holy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Transform us into your image.
Tonight you may not understand what's going on around this house, but I want to let you know that if you will open up your heart to God, you may not have the head knowledge, but I just feel in my spirit tonight that if you'll open your heart to God and ask him to reveal the truth of his word to your heart tonight, God has got an experience for you in this house tonight. You know, we get so satisfied with the emotional fluff. We're only thinking it's a good church service if we've felt like dancing, or we only think that it's been a good week of revival if we are bouncing off the walls. But you know, there is an experience that God wants to do in our hearts that goes so much more beyond emotion and so much more than just religion. It is a relationship that God wants to do in your heart tonight. And for some of you, you've lived this religion, but you have not dove into that relationship. You've experienced the religious movement. You've understood what everything meant, but yet you haven't fully tasted of what God has wanted to do in your life. First, it starts with salvation, but there is another experience. There is a deeper walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. And tonight, the Lord has promised it to you. Amen. I'm not talking about your parents. I'm not talking about your grandparents' generation. I'm talking about to us tonight. God has promised Himself for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just take one more time tonight. Amen. And just lift our hands to heaven and ask God one more time to do His will in this service. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before You. God, I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Oh, Lamb of God, I pray You would do a work for eternity. Rababas. This is what we're going to do. If you feel like staying tonight, just you want to tarry around these altars, want to open it up, just stay, pray until you feel like you want to leave. And for the rest of us, we can be dismissed tonight. We want to encourage you, please stay and fellowship with us. There's food in the back across the parking lot. Please join us and stay. But tonight, if you feel like you just want to tarry around these altars, take advantage of the Spirit of the Lord moving. Amen. 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 Brother David Casey, would you mind to pray over the food tonight? Amen. If you are leaving, please be careful on the roads heading home. We don't want anyone to have an accident, but we encourage you to stay tonight. Amen. You can be dismissed. Everyone, can I have your attention real quick before you walk out? The parking lot has iced over, and we have run out of salt to go all the way back. So please, gentlemen, I'm not talking about, you know, being a romantic, but I'm talking about if there's ladies that have, you know, high heels on, give them an arm or something, especially if they're older. But let's make sure that everyone stays safe. We just want you to know it is slick walking that way.